Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on where you are in the world. I am Michelle Manders, your host for Palace of Peace Talk Radio, and I am broadcasting live from Johannesburg, South Africa, and I am assisted by my gorgeous co-host, the angel Faith Parent Hendrickson, who is currently in Hollywood. How are you, Faith?
Hey, good morning from Hollywood, California, Michelle. It's nice to have you back. It's great to be back on the show with you.
It's good to be back. You know, I must say, you know, when things are so hectic and so crazy and there's always so much happening, and you kind of like, you know, time goes and then you get back to doing something that you haven't done for a while, and it feels so good. So it's great to be back, and it's there's so much to share with our listeners today. And thank you to those of you who have tuned in live. We appreciate you making the effort to be here with us. So, yes, Faith, how has it been for you since we last chatted?
Well, as people may or may not know, I'm also a member of the group that you lead as it relates to holding the energies when you travel. And I found it to be a very transforming project, but it did tire me. It was one of the most exhausting, just feeling incredibly tired. But other than that, I would say pretty good. Not much to report.
Well, they say no news is good news, don't they?
Yes.
I must apologize if I splutter and splurt and cough every now and then, and if my voice sounds like a 14-year-old young boy's, it comes and goes. It's not so bad at the moment, but it has its moments. I mean, we've been back a week exactly today, and coming home yet to Johannesburg from floods in Israel and in Egypt, and there's parts of South Africa in a state of emergency because it's a drought. So the air is so dry here, so my poor sinuses feel like they've had 10 rounds with Floyd Mayweather. And so the headaches that accompany it, fortunately, my homeopath has helped me out with some drops and that. But so the postnasal drip has gone onto my chest. So as I say, I'm either sounding very sexy with a husky voice, or I sound like an irritating 14-year-old boy, as I said, whose voice is about to break. And I got one of those in the house at the moment, by the way. So,
Well, actually, that's a very good segue, Michelle, because when we left the last time before you went away, and I know we're going to talk about the Middle East Phase 2 project that you've just returned from and the one starting up and following, we were talking about the importance of body care. Do you remember that? We're talking about the importance of how you... I brought up even the importance of how you see yourself and taking the time to take care of your appearance even. As I mentioned, do you want to pick up from there that you mentioned that was important?
Yes, yeah, sure. You know, one of the things that I remember that we were talking about, which was very important in terms of, you know, taking care of your body, especially cleanliness. And I think, I've channeled so much stuff. I can't even remember which channeling it was in. I don't know if it was Mary Magdalene yesterday, or it could have been recently while we were, you know, in the Middle East. You know, speaking about how important cleanliness is, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And for females specifically, how vitally important it is for us to keep our bodies very clean, especially during our menstrual cycle. And the reason why I say this is for a lot of people who've been following our shows and talks with regards to negative energy, dark energy, any kind of malefic energy, whatever, you know, label or identity you wish to give it. Cleanliness is a very, very important aspect of ensuring that your space, including your body, is not susceptible to these malefic energies. And so during our menstrual cycle, we are more susceptible to these kinds of malefic energies. And so that was definitely one of the things that I remember us speaking about. I can't remember all the other details about it, but gosh, I wish I could remember which channeling it was that was spoken about specifically recently.
It was the law.
Do you recall that?
Yes.
Ah, was it? Okay, so it was the one we did yesterday.
Yes.
It was yesterday, huh?
Yes. Wait, what day is this?
Gosh.
I think. It was in the last 2 days.
So,
10 hours ahead of me. I struggle with what day it is all the time. So.
Oh, God, am I speaking to you from your future again?
Yes.
It's a little joke between Faith and I because I'm 10 hours ahead of her. So, yes, creepy. I'm speaking to you from your future. So, okay, let me get a little bit serious here before my voice disappears completely. So, in terms of our body, I remember part of what Mary Magdalene was saying. She was referring to our body as a sacred temple. And I mean, we've heard this on so many occasions with regards to our body being a temple. And just taking care of all of those facets, physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, and spiritually. And, you know, when your body is feeling healthy and energized and vitalized, it's very difficult for us to get caught up in the frenetic energy that is in our environment, wherever it is that we live. And I think, you know, people are susceptible to this frenetic energy all over the world, especially if, you know, we live in cities. Those of you that live out in the sticks, you are very blessed. Give thanks for the blessing every day. But, you know, living in a city environment where we are, you know, constantly bombarded by the collective consciousness, and people in general are, you know, quite anxious at the moment. There's so much change brewing, and people in general don't understand where these changes are going. A lot of people are in huge fear because of the political situations in many countries around the world, and that impacts us, whether we are spiritually aware or conscious of our environment or not. So it's up to us to make sure that we are doing everything necessary to keep our body and our energy vitalized. Not everyone is able to do crazy exercise or go for hectic walks and things like that. If you're not in the physical position to be able to exercise your body physically, then it's vitally important then that you exercise your mind, that you make sure that you are investing time and energy in things that keep your spirits uplifted, keep you in a good space. And of course, good nutrition is a vitally important aspect of that. As I think most of you know, this is my 1 year anniversary of being cancer free. It was this time last year, November 2015, where I was diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma cancer. It had spread from my arm into my lymphs. So it was my second kind of like shake up from the universe, you know, talk about pulling the rug out from under your feet. Come on, bitch, wake up. You got to get with the flow of life. You know, you're messing around. What the fuck are you up to, you know? So I was like, okay, I get the message. Nothing like cancer to put a cracker up your backside and get you moving in the right direction. And that's precisely what happened. So thanks to cancer saved my life because it really, really shook me up where I realized that I want to live. I do not want to leave this planet. And, you know, taking care of my physical health became top of my priority list in terms of what I needed to do for myself. So, you know, good food. I try and exercise as often as possible, and maintaining harmony, balance, and peace as much as I can, being you know, a wife and a mother and everything else. But it has made such a massive difference to me as a person, and what I now experience in my life just in this year of having to shift everything. So taking care of your physical body is vital. And when you are feeling healthy physically, it's so much easier to maintain a greater sense of self-love. Because when you're looking after yourself, you are then showing yourself that you are worth the effort, you're worth the time. And I was one of those people. I always put myself last. You know, five kids, business to run, husband to take care of, and I was always putting Michelle on the back burner. And as I say, universe came along and it was like, bitch slapped me over the back of the head, and wake up. This is something that you need to be aware of. This is something that is really important. And putting myself forward, or pushing myself forward, was very awkward in the beginning, because I felt I was letting everyone down and I was being a burden, and there was so much that needed to happen and wasn't happening. So it was quite a journey. But an incredibly empowering one, and the amount of self-love and self-worth that emerged through that has been truly amazing and really self-empowering. So I'm sure there's a lot you can add to that, Faith.
Well, first of all, congratulations. It's amazing. It's been 1 year. That's just mind-blowing. And being someone that loves you very much and close to you.
Hi, Faith?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, sorry, I thought we lost you there for a second.
No, someone muted me. It said muted and unmuted while I was talking.
Okie dokie.
So anyway, as I was saying, was that I, as somebody who loves you very much and very close to you, it's been quite an honor to be by your side, and you've been quite an example for those to have such a challenge. So it's amazing what you've been through and managing all that you manage. I don't know how you do it, which I tell you all the time. And I really
That's why I always say I was given all those Capricorn planets to make sure I can keep up with it all.
Gosh, it's amazing. And I really want to mention that the law of expectation that was just channeled by Michelle, it was Sunday night my time, Monday your time, is a very important cosmic law that's just come through and anchored here. And to go to Michelle's website, when she's able to post it to palaceofpeace.net, you'll see that there are cosmic laws there. And I also want to echo the importance of loving actions. Now, I know we're here to talk about your recent trip to the Middle East and the one coming up, but this is non-negotiable to understand that we must fully embrace and not just give lip service to what people talk about is raising our own vibration. And the only way to do it is to truly have self-love and self-worth. Everything else is actions that don't contain that. And it's not a comfortable thing for people to do, but taking a loving action towards yourself, of just caring for yourself, where you're getting up and showering. If you're somebody that works from home, which I mentioned in our last broadcast, it's very easy to just stay in your pajamas and work all day. But I know many of us decided to stop doing that and getting up and getting ready for work and going to your computer, wherever it is, as if you're going to the job. It changes things. I really can't say enough about that. Really revitalizes who you are and how you look at yourself. So as we start talking about the projects that are going on and malefic energies, think about that. What they do is void of love. That is how you conquer it, and the meek shall inherit the earth. It's through the power of love. And I guess if you would like to, at the time, Michelle, talk about the project, the Middle East project, and the intention of going to the places that you did. And perhaps if you talk about, for instance, starting the trip in Cairo, what you observed, what the changes are, things along that line as you were in Cairo, Jordan, and Israel.
Great. Yes, thank you, Faith. You know, the last time, this was my eighth trip to Egypt, and the last time that we were there was for December 2012. that was a key project with everything that we were doing at Palace of Peace. And with that particular trip that we did, the Ascended Masters did place certain parts of Egypt in lockdown. And we weren't quite sure why all of a sudden everything was kind of like going into lockdown. And then all hell broke loose in Cairo. So it was kind of like, okay, we understand the Ascended Masters. They kind of like know what's going on. So so it was interesting going back there. We weren't quite sure what to experience or what to expect, rather. And so it was a lot calmer than we expected. The energy was pretty soft compared to Israel at times, but it was still quite abrasive in certain areas. We spent most of our time in Bahariya on a portion of land that is owned by one of our guardians who's married to the most beautiful Egyptian man, Muhammad. And Muhammad went out of his way to prepare the space for the group to arrive. And our guardian is Savannah. She's based in Denmark, Savannah Mikala Kofut. And I hope I've pronounced your surname correctly, Savannah. Forgive me if I got that wrong. And we were welcomed with so much love and so much warmth. The hospitality was just absolutely amazing. We were plagued by flies. I think that was the most traumatic part of the process in arriving there, was flies. I mean, they were just everywhere. But anyway, we had lovely times. I mean, Katumi Agrippa channeled some absolutely phenomenal information. There were a lot of channelings that were conducted that were for the group only, that were the pilgrims who were traveling with us, because it was real time related to what was going on there and then. There was so much that was going on, you know, that I just wouldn't be able to all put into just this bit of time that we've got to share here. But the shifts that were happening within the people began, you know, right from the onset. And even the Egyptian caretakers that we had there, Muhammad and his assistants that were making sure that we had food, and it was all men taking care of us, which was also just so awesome to observe. And they made sure that everything was running smoothly. There was a lot of lessons in just going with the flow and being flexible because of the unrest that was going on in Egypt. So because of the death of the Mexicans in the White Desert, we were not permitted to go into the White Desert. But we did go to a portion of the Black Desert. We connected with a mountain there in the Black Desert, which is connected to the Black Mountain in Namibia, which is our project that we did in March 2015. So the masters were giving us all this information that was joining the dots with projects that we've done in the past. And as you know, the Middle East project is also connected to phase three of Romania and Hungary, which happens in August 2016. So it's been a fascinating process seeing how all these countries that we've been doing these Earth Guardian projects with, how all these energies are connected, and how with each of these countries, how things shift almost immediately, you know, within a short space of time. And a perfect example of this is, if I've got my dates correct, I'm not sure if it was a recent post or it's an old one, but the information was shared by another one of our guardians, Roberta Barwell, I think it was about a week after us leaving, there was a whole bunch of Israelis and Palestinians that walked for peace. And I was so excited about that. I mean, we called the Palace of Peace, and the work that we go and do is about anchoring peace particles and restoring the love, peace, wisdom grids, anchoring joy, compassion, forgiveness, and self-love wherever it is that we go. So that's, I know I've jumped ahead a little bit, but that was just a really, really wonderful confirmation in terms of how, you know, Mother Israel had already responded to the energy that we brought, you know, our little contribution to the bigger picture of bringing healing to Mother Earth. So now going back to Egypt, the night before we had to leave, there was a little bit of disruption. So we had to leave the land in Bahariya, and we had to go and sleep in a hotel. And we had the military surrounding our hotel while we slept. And we had a full-on escort. I mean, we had a vehicle in front of us, behind us, and flanking us to the right and left at times, just to the right. But it was these military vehicles with soldiers all kitted out in their gear with their guns and masks on. Some of them, we couldn't even see their faces. You could just see eyes through the balaclavas with their goggles on. And it was pretty cool in that sense, I must say. So we were police escorted all the way back to Cairo. The energies were intense. The last 3 days in Egypt, I mean, the processing that I was going through was so, so deep. And it's pretty damn painful when you're going through it, but, you know, you've just got to keep on working through it. And, you know, you got to keep on self-reflecting, looking at where this is coming from. There were times where I had to just completely withdraw and step back and be alone, because these energies are churned up and turned up, and whatever there is that's swimming around in that immediate environment is communicating on an electromagnetic level to your field of energy. And, you know, wherever there is discord or imbalance or healing required within our own self and our own psyche, these energies then trigger processes. So Egypt was pretty awesome. And the day that we had the police escort back to Cairo, I was really, really struggling with this just intense emotional energy that was just, you know, coming in waves. And I was very blessed to have an incredible healing experience later that evening when we arrived in Cairo. We went to visit an orphanage. And this orphanage takes in abandoned babies and children of Egyptian women who have been raped, etc., where these are babies that have just been dumped. And the women who are living in this orphanage with the children are all Egyptian women who have been ostracized by husbands and families because they are barren or infertile. So I was so impressed with the setup. because, you know, for one little room of four babies, and I will post some pictures on Facebook of some of the babies. I mean, they were tiny, fresh little buns out of the oven. I mean, they were still steaming, you know, that's how fresh they were. And they were beautiful face. And it reminded me so much again of Namibia, where we just randomly, on the side of a riverbank, I came across that lady with that tiny little baby as well. And I just melt with baby. And that baby's name was Faith. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
The baby in Namibia. So here I am, standing in this orphanage in Cairo, and I'm just melting into this little baby, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is Namibia all over again. And I was thinking of you, and it was just such an awesome setup. So once I had, I mean, we weren't in there for long, maybe an hour tops, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of the orphanage, but we are getting all the details, and I made a commitment to this orphanage that all the proceeds from our Children of the Rainbow Ray project, I'm donating to this orphanage in Cairo. So, yes, now they've got such an awesome set up there. They will be contacting us. I think they were quite overwhelmed by our group going in there, and, you know, funds were shared with them and other pledges were made. So I'm basically just waiting to hear back from them. But, you know, just to let everyone know that all proceeds from our Children of the Rainbow Ray project on my Palace of Peace website will go to this orphanage. So by the time we left the orphanage, I was bouncing off the walls. It was like every bit of heartache and pain that I was carrying in my heart chakra, because it was my heart chakra felt like it was on fire. And anyone looked at me and the tears would just well up, and, you know, I would start squirting water out of my eyeballs. And it was just such a blessing how these tiny little buns just lifted my spirits and healed my heart, and I was absolutely a-okay. So look out, if you are have been to our Children of the Rainbow Ray Facebook page, I would appreciate you going and taking a look. And we're still getting through all the pictures. My husband, Sean, is in the process of putting that all together. And I will post some pictures there. And I've got some short little video clips of the children in the orphanages. I'll post them there as well, as well as our Palace of Peace group on Facebook. So you can take a look for that. And they have got such an amazing setup there. That was something I was also incredibly excited about. And then going back to Mohammed, the awesome gentleman who took care of us, Savannah's husband, this man sold his car so that he had the money to put up the structure on this land, or I hope I've got the story right here, Savannah, you know, building the structure on the land and getting the land ready for us to arrive. So as a result of not having his 4x4 vehicle anymore, he can't make a living, because he believes so much in what Savannah is doing. Kutumi Agrippa confirmed that this particular section of land is one of Master Kutumi Agrippa's ancient ashram, and that the ascended masters would receive a number of the initiations in that particular area. So this piece of land has been blessed as one of Kutumi Agrippa's ashrams. And Kutumi Agrippa did announce that our 2016 desert gathering, which is happening in December 2016, will take place on this piece of land in Egypt and then Morocco. So it's Egypt, Morocco, that this big desert gathering is taking place in December 2016. So we're really looking forward to going back to Savannah and Muhammad's piece of land. And because of how Muhammad just absolutely trusts in the higher meaning of what it is that we are doing and supporting the service work. The other thing that we also decided that we would like to do is start a fund, and we are aiming to raise $20,000 for Muhammad so that we can buy him a 4x4, replace his vehicle that he sold in order to get the land ready to support what we are doing. He's supporting our spiritual service work, and that is how he's giving back. So if you would like to contribute to helping us raising funds for Muhammad, with him getting a new vehicle means he has employment. There's other people that will also have employment. It supports so many different families. If you're interested in knowing more about that, then you can email myself, Michelle, with a double L-E, palaceofpeace@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can also contact, I'll give you the email now, Lisa Rondan. Lisa will also have some information, and it's Lisa Rondan, all one word, LisaRon, D for dog, AN for Nelly, @yahoo.com. So we're still looking at how we can set up the fund for Muhammad in Egypt. And as I say, our goal is $20,000 so that we can purchase him a new vehicle. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to deliver this gift to him by the time that we arrive back in Egypt, early December 2016, for this massive desert gathering. From Egypt, we went over to Jordan, which was an awesome, I think it was 2 days or 3 days of just having a more settled energy. It was the desert, the rock formations, the mountain ranges there were absolutely phenomenal. And going into Petra again was also just absolutely incredible. It is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I urge you to listen to the channelings from those particular countries. They are all listed on my website under the Middle East Phase 2 project. You'll see it'll say Wadi Rum or Petra Jordan. That'll really give you a connection with the energies that were unfolding at that time. I mean, we had desert storms, sand storms where you could not see your hand in front of your face. Talking about the exhaustion, I mean, Faith, I was so exhausted. Sean tried to wake me up to come and see the desert storm, and I kind of like peeled one eyelid open and was like, all right, whatever, you know. Rolled over and went back to sleep. It's like, you're taking photographs. Okay, leave me alone. It was exhausting. I mean, some days I was channeling twice a day because there were instances where there was some really deep personal processing that was going on. So, of course, Mary Magdalene and Katumi Agrippa, you know, were jumping in and helping everyone. My husband, Sean, I mean, he's been traveling with me for 6 years already, but this project blew his socks right off and blew the lid off some of his deepest wounds as well. And, you know, this has been the project that broke through so many false barriers that, you know, he was seeing as limitations. So it's completely turned him 180 degrees. But the exhaustion, it is absolutely spot on, because the 2 days that we were in the Wadi Rum desert, both afternoons I was lights out for 3 hours at least. So thankfully we did all the work in the morning. Wow. And we had our time in the afternoon to integrate, and us, as I say, I just slept, which was very welcome. But it was awesome. I mean, we were smoking shisha pipes with apple molasses and lime and mint, and there was so much fun and laughter. It was really an awesome group to travel with. And the thing that I absolutely loved and appreciated most was this was our first trip where there was no issues, you know, ego issues rising up in the group that then came as attacks to me, or, you know, scrapping and gossiping amongst members of the group. It was beautiful.
Finally.
Yes. Finally. At last,
Jeez.
You know.
Good for you.
And I must say, you know, a huge, huge thank you to all the people who traveled with us, the pilgrims, for being such awesome souls, such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people. Because, you know, everyone was going through something at some stage. You know, we were processing at different times, but no one's process was projected onto other people in such a way that it caused big problems amongst the group. Everyone contained themselves really well and dealt with their personal processing as evolved adults, which was just so cool to experience. And, you know, when we travel, Sean and I are not exempt from the processing. I mean, we are in the thick of it, and it happens. So, and the group was just so compassionate to, you know, and sensitive to when I was going through something, or, you know, Sean was going through something and I was there to support him. You know, our space was respected, and I really appreciated, and Sean as well, we really appreciated that so much. We also had one of our security team members traveling with us, and I have two ladies who are head of our security team, and that is Heidi. Yeah, I'm going to try again, Heidi. Heidi Troller-Enervolzen.
Yeah.
That's her surname. And then Lena, and Lena, I hope I get your surname right. I think it's Hoogland or Hoogland. So Heidi is in Denmark and Lena is in Sweden. So Heidi was working intensively back home, keeping the security grid stable. Lena was there with us. She was keeping the grids going all the time. I mean, there were days where she was wiped out and exhausted, but so spot on, you know. She would see, you know, a storm coming before anything ever really happened. So she was always keeping us aware of what was going on. And I must also say to our group, our Emerald Ray clan of guardians, and anyone else who is, you know, listening to channelings and participating in our project, that Heidi and Lena will be available in the not too distant future to give classes and training on proper protection against psychic attack and all sorts of malefic interference. And they are two phenomenal ladies who just do the most incredible job in terms of keeping our group safe when we travel, getting heads up on anything that we need to be aware of. And Lena was a real warrior of note and absolutely awesome in that sense. So big shout out to both of them, and very, very grateful for their presence and their support. And again, as I say, the absolutely amazing people we were traveling with. Then we moved on from beautiful Jordan to Israel, and we were notified the night before we had to leave for Israel that there were floods. So we could not enter it through the border that we wanted to. We had to go through a different border. And by the time we got to Israel, we couldn't even get to Eilat, nor the Negev Desert, because of the massive floods. It was pouring with rain in the Jordan Desert. I mean, they were absolutely overwhelmed with the way the rain was coming down. So wherever we went, it rained. So it was just so great bringing those blessings with us as we were traveling, the cleansing, the nurturing. And although we could not get to Eilat and we could not get into the Negev Desert, we spent our time in Jerusalem. And the first night, because of all the itinerary changes, we were in a hotel directly across the road from the parliament buildings in Israel. So, of course, we were like bombing it with love bombs and peace particles and all sorts of things. So, and just, you know, walking through Jerusalem and Bethlehem again. I mean, most of the sites I had seen before, because I did Egypt, Israel, and Jordan in 2006. But it was really lovely visiting the country again. It was quite something, the different shifts in energy again, because the Egyptians are very soft and loving. It was a little bit more different to the Jordanians. They were a little bit more standoffish and aloof. And then Israel was a completely different kettle of fish. Lots of grumpy people. But then, it was rather understandable when Ketubi Agrippa and Mary Magdalene explained how, with so many hundreds and thousands of people coming to the Holy Land. And I mean, there were some sites where I was finished. I was like, I've had enough. I can't do this heaviness anymore, because people are just dumping their woes and their problems. And Jesus, save me. And Jesus, take away all my problems. It is intense. And, it makes perfect sense why, there is such a heaviness in Israel, because the Israeli people are dealing with the whole world's issues, all these pilgrims that are coming to Israel, and poverty consciousness in a way, but more, it's more than that. It's just so desperate, and I can't even think of the word to use, but desperate is probably one of the words to use. And it must be very intense for people living in Israel having to deal with that that heaviness. But, we did the work. We swam in the Dead Sea. We sailed on the Sea of Galilee. We got olive pips and olives from the Garden of Gethsemane. We saw the most beautiful churches, and it was, for me, it was actually awesome going into these churches. I've been an astrologer for, it's 8.5, almost 9 years now, firstly studying medieval astrology, and all the other work that's been done in between with how the Ascended Masters have explained the different forces that are influencing what actually happens here on Earth. And the one church that we were in Jerusalem, I looked up to the ceiling, and as I looked up, there was these different sections, and we took photographs, I will post them, of all the different countries that had invested money in the building and refurbishing and all of that, which is just confirmation of all these different influences. I mean, Washington was there, Germany was there, Russia was there. I mean, they're all over the place. So it was just nice confirmation to see how all these different places or countries have got their finger in the Israel pie or the Middle East pie, and there's just so much clandestine things going on where they try and make it look as if they're not part of whatever's going on, but it's most certainly there. So it's difficult to capture what was happening for us each day. And, we had a miracle happen. I must tell you about this. So we go to, I think it was our first day in Jerusalem. Yes, it was our first day. And we're overlooking the holy city, the path that Jesus walked, and where he went and wept for Jerusalem, and then where he walked and he was arrested and what have you. And we were distracted, and we walked a little way down, and my husband, Sean, realized his phone had been stolen. And I was like, no, this is unacceptable. So, and I just had this feeling, this force inside of me, and I said to him, we're going back. We are going back up that hill. Your phone is there, and we need to go and find it. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, we got the phone back, and the guy that lifted the phone actually came and delivered it back to us in our hands. Obviously, I mean, we had two Israeli policemen with us, so with guns and everything. So I think that scared the bejesus out of them anyway. And they had to look at their options and go, okay, best we give the phone back. So Sean got his phone back. Yes, yes. So it was awesome. It's just the different things that happened. But to capture the energy is extremely difficult. But it was awesome. The shifts, the changes, the epiphanies, the inner realizations, the releases were just absolutely phenomenal. So, and all our trips have this kind of effect. And I've seen myself, the growth that I have gone through on a personal level. And this trip showed me just how much clearing and growth I have mastered, because it was reflected in the people that were traveling with me. So, you know, there was, as
that's
I say,
really
none of this.
Good point.
Absolutely. So that ego projection, all of it was clear. So I had to acknowledge, well, you know, I've looked at the stuff inside of me that now no longer creates that or manifests that behavior in my groups. So it was really, really phenomenal. Now, Faith, before I carry on, I see we've got a caller. So I'm just going to unmute our caller and find out who they are, and then we'll continue. You okay with that?
Oh, yes.
Cool. All right. Hello there, our caller. Who are we speaking to?
Hello. This is Greg from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you for calling in and checking in. What would you like to share with us today, say or comment or ask?
Well, my question had to do a lot with what you guys were talking about local consciousness. And I've noticed at times I felt or I knew that something was going on locally, but I didn't know where it was. And it was though I was getting not necessarily pulled out of my body, but my mind was in another place, you know, in the atmosphere dealing with some local problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that was happening on a regular basis, completely wearing me out. And then whenever I really prayed and meditated hard on it, it was as though it had nothing to do with me at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something I got pulled into. But anyway, with that, I finally found some online prayer groups that met regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it hasn't totally replaced it yet because it's only been a short time. But I felt like that has totally relocated my consciousness to where I'm receiving good energy, and a lot of the local negative energy, I'm not tapping into it as much. It's still there. But and that's why one of the things I just looked for is I wanted to see what was available as far as if you gals knew about any kind of daily meditation calls. I was just trying to search for them on the internet, but I really haven't found any yet.
Okay, Greg, it sounds like you're an empath, and Faith is awesome with that kind of energy and information. So what I can suggest, Greg, is visit my website, which is palaceofpeace.net. I do have a bunch of free channelings available there that you can work through if you like, and perhaps you'll find something there that will add support to you. And Faith, is there anything you would like to add and suggest for Greg?
I would add that looking at what the situations are, if you can reflect on what types of things are going on, like subjects,
okay,
it's a great insight to where there's something lurking within that's looking for your attention. Because things always happen for a reason, and like attracts like. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, we all have our stuff that we need to work through, some from other lives and some from our current lives. And being empathic, I agree with Michelle, it was the first thing I thought of. You're rather blessed that it's a conscious thing for you. And if you can look at it as being an observer, Greg,
okay,
and detaching emotionally from it and not judging any of it, you'll start to gain some sort of very important empowerment feeling. And I think that is probably the biggest thing I've taken away from working with teens, adults, myself, is to understand what's going on and not to be afraid of it. Being like a casual observer, or actually a reporter, and a reporter who's worth their salt is very aware of just the facts. So if you can look at and journal some of what you've been able to remember, would be huge.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I do a lot of that. It isn't a big problem when my energy level's high.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come up with a lot of solutions. Yeah,
right.
So that part, it's not bad at all. I can be the reporter on certain days, but it just seems like there's a
well,
threshold
when you're in
to
it,
where, yeah.
Yes, when you're in it, that's a little different. When you're in it, try to, with practice in these online prayer groups, or perhaps
okay.
through, I would highly suggest some of the materials on Michelle's website. They are incredibly high vibrational workings. And listening to them do MP3s, what you want to do is practice as much as possible that feeling of peace.
Okay.
Do not underestimate, because that is where your power is. Peace is where your power is. And so to feel that, and when in the moment, you can just center yourself, try to gather yourself, and feel, drop your head into your heart and try to feel that peace. So the more you practice it when you're calm and not in a threatening situation, or in a situation that you're not as strong, or however you want to phrase it, then you're able to draw on that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like when you exercise regularly, then you have the strength to go water ski longer or something. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because you're calling on that.
I'm just trying to find that balance right now between you know,
and figure out why you're checking in. There's something that is there's something that you feel needed. There's a part of you that wants to help. There's a part of you that may agree with the energy. You may think that there's truth in the poverty consciousness, or the victim consciousness, or for whatever's going on, and be very brutally honest with what the beliefs are that you may hold, or any expectation. That's what I mean as part of reflecting and being the observer. You'll see your strength as a result, and it won't have that pull on you anymore. You must be somebody with a lot to offer.
That's
okay, with a lot of strength.
You know, one of the issues has been, I guess my hope, my strategy would be eventually to pick up on these things, okay, and then go ahead and shield myself to where I'm full of energy to actually come up with a solution, or to be involved in some way that would actually do some good.
Well, and then maybe
part of the goal.
Well, instead of checking in on those energies, which could be how they're attracting you, is just stay focused on the light and understand how the dark works. And we've got a plethora of Blog Talk Radio programs that explain that. I think that is a really good point to consider, because that interest is what's going to keep them pulling. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And good
Perfect.
For you to want to understand it. I think it's
important
that we understand it. And that will be Michelle speaking next about the next project. I think we'll hear more about what's going on, because I commend you for that. A lot of people run from it. They don't understand. We need to understand how life works on Earth. It's like trying to build a structure, or knowing termites are eating away at your house and you don't want to pay attention to it. So good for
you.
I
mean, what I'll do, sometimes I'll take down as much information as I can. I'll put it in an MP3 player, and then I'll go ahead and add the prayers to it in meditations, because it usually happens when I'm sleeping. That way I can hit that MP3 player and kind of wake myself up spiritually as far as what's going on.
Yeah.
So that works.
That sounds good.
I mean, I could write a book on what's going on locally. It's just, you know, I mean, it has to do with some real situations, I think, that are going on corporately in the religious structure.
Yeah.
And it's like whenever the local churches, the local ministries, when they do something really wrong and it's creating torment, it's like I'll pick up on it. But I don't
have... Sounds like a warrior.
Yeah, but the problem is I don't have the network and the resources to actually go out and do something, because these things can be solved both in the spirit and in the physical. When you get both of them working together, that's really what...
And this is the project that Michelle Manders leads. So, Michelle, if you want to take it from there, it sounds like he's found a place with the network to help that work.
Absolutely. That sounds, just listening to you, Greg, I was also thinking to myself, geez, this sounds like, you know, you're getting this information, or you've made aware of this for a reason. And sometimes, you know, we mistakenly think that lack of resources means we can't make an impact or make a difference. But I assure you, I mean, just the members of our group who are working as Earth Guardians are on the same mission as you, to, you know, to restore balance and to clear this pathway of worshipping the false gods. And I mean, I now, when I work, I deliberately say that I align with the one and only true Father God and Mother Goddess of the Light, because a lot of people don't realize that religion is the realm of the false gods, where they have pulled people into this poverty consciousness, you know, fear, etc., which I'm sure you are fully aware of. So I would also urge you, Greg, to, as Faith was saying, to listen to our archive of Blog Talk Radio shows, because there is so much information there. And on the 25th of November at 4 a.m. GMT plus 2, I'm going to be conducting the first...
Hello?
We lost Michelle's audio. Oh, dear. Hopefully she'll return. Sometimes she loses. She's in South Africa, so sometimes she loses the connection.
Okay.
She's going to be announcing the opening of the next stage of the project, Middle East Project 3, and it's a free live channeling. And she's mentioning it to you so that you would please join us and listen and see if this is something you'd like.
Yes.
Oh, there she's back.
I've been talking away and no one... Did I disappear?
You did disappear, dear. I just told them about that you're going to be doing the free channeling and live public channeling so that people can hear what's going on and they want to participate. It's 4
okay.
o'clock in the morning, your time, and you're on the East Coast, Greg, so add 7 hours, or backwards, go back 7 hours.
Okay. Back 7 from 4 a.m. Okay.
Yeah. That's, I think, 10 a.m. or, wait, 9 p.m. for you.
And
I
mean,
think
Greg,
it's 6 o'clock in here. Go ahead.
And if Greg's not able to tune in, it will be made available on my website as a free download, the MP3. And, you know, that'll give you further insight into what we're doing. And the Middle East is the country we've been concentrating. Well, the Middle East is the section that we of Mother Earth's body we've been concentrating on this year specifically. And we began it with the Middle East, and we worked Hungary and Romania. We've done a lot with Hungary and Romania. And now with the next project coming in, it's Zimbabwe, but the Ascended Masters have thrown South Africa into the mix. So we'll be working Middle East and Zimbabwe and South Africa included. But although we, you know, focusing on specific countries, it's a global energy. So it's like looking at the physical body, we look at Mother Earth. Mother Earth is a body. She has chakras, she has nadis, she has meridians, the entire shebang. She has what we have. So you can work on a specific chakra in your body or a specific issue, and it benefits the entire body. it's basically the same with our project. So although we're focusing on the Middle East and we're now going to be concentrating energy on South Africa and Zimbabwe, the entire world benefits from that. And the main process that makes this project so incredibly and positively self-empowering is that the project does not focus on just projecting energy to these countries or to Mother Earth. These projects are so successful because people are working on themselves. So it's intensive self-work that takes place as well. And because of the depth of self-work that is conducted, each participant is raising their vibration as a result. And we are a group of, I think for this project, it's almost 70 people. So, okay, we're only 70 people amongst the whole planet, but, you know, we're raising our vibration collectively. And each of the members of the group who's raising their vibration, they are playing it forward because, all people that they interact with and who they're doing work with, it becomes this magnificent ripple effect of empowering energies that are bringing healing to humans and healing to Mother Earth and all her realms as well. So,
and it will bring the healing too. And it helps where you're located as well. You'll be bringing those energies there, which will help. Regarding the comments that you've made locally, and you'll also be part of the large protection that we form as a group doing this work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely works. I mean, I've seen it work with, even if you look at when somebody comes from a different area into your local hometown, they don't have that baggage that came with the area.
Yeah.
That's why you see so many revivals and different things happen when somebody who comes from a totally different spiritual jurisdiction or atmosphere, they're unaffected by that local darkness.
Yes. Well, Greg, there is definitely a very important reason why you are experiencing what you are experiencing. And I strongly feel that, you know, this is definitely a higher purpose for you and perhaps the next step in your service work as a spiritual light warrior. And, don't let any lack of resources throw a spanner in the works, because where there's a will, there's a way. And the fact that a lot of this work has been done in sleep state, I'm sure it will bring into more lucid states when, you know, as that energy starts growing inside of you, you searching, you asking questions. And I agree with Faith. It's awesome that you are doing this. And, you know, don't give up. Persevere with this. Be patient. And, you know, set the intention that if it is a calling for you to empower people in, you know, in Pennsylvania or wherever it is in Pennsylvania that you are living, that they find you and that resources do not impose on the process at all. And, you know, we all have a guardian angel, and there's a process that I've been teaching for years. Which I was taught when I first started studying medieval astrology some years ago. And the process is that for 7 days back to back, you spend some time with your guardian angel, same time every day. And for 7 days, you're basically sitting in council with your guardian angel and explain everything to them, what you are feeling, what you would like clarity on, where it is you anticipate this process going, or if you have no idea whatsoever what direction it's heading in, ask them to show you, to guide you. What is my next step? What am I expected to do with this? Why am I being shown this? How do I integrate this? How do I protect myself? And asking those questions is going to attract the energy to you. So you do that for 7 days back to back. And on the seventh day, you let it go. You hand it all over to your guardian angel. And then you just watch this space. See how then, you know, perhaps what most people would call coincidences. You know, you meet someone in the grocery store or the bookstore or wherever it may be. You are going to be linked up with people like mind, like heart, like spirit, and the light can then be spread. And you can speak to your guardian angel about anything and everything. Just get it clear in your mind what exactly it is you want clarity on or support with prior to presenting the information to your guardian angel. So, you know, maybe take a few days to, you know, compile it or get it all clear in your head, and then in your meditation time, devote some of your meditation time to conversation with your guardian angel. And it has the most phenomenal results, Greg. It's really, truly very powerful.
It will help you in connecting that way too daily as well.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
Thanks for calling
Greg,
in.
I hope that's... Yes, thank you for calling in. And, you know, we'd love to have you call in again and let us know how things are progressing. If there's anything you would like to share or make public, here's a platform. I mean, here is a free platform where we are happy to support you with what you are doing and to spread the word. If there's people in Pennsylvania that you know that are interested in it, you know, encourage them to tune into our shows. You can call in and we'll help you spread the word, spread the light. So here is one of your platforms that we are happy to help you spread the light with.
Okay, thank you. I'll make sure I follow you on Blog Talk.
Great.
Awesome, great.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, Greg. We appreciate your call. And keep up
you.
The good work. Okay.
Thanks for all
awesome.
The help. Blessings.
You're
anytime.
Welcome, Greg.
Blessings.
Take care.
To you.
Bye. Oh, that was an awesome call, Faith.
Very.
Thank you for your contribution there. And, yeah, he brought up some very pertinent information there. So, great. Is there anything you would like to add there, Faith?
Well, it's I think that we might want to add that the Middle East is the location of the Crystal Christed Consciousness Belt. And that might be pertinent as he's picking up on the specific activities in his area, do you think?
Yes. Look, you know, Faith, one of the things I have seen with the projects that we are doing, and not just what we're doing, what all amazing, you know, spiritual light workers and light warriors are doing across the world, the impact is being felt. We've made a dent in the false matrix, and the energies are responding. So all over the world now, I believe that the energies are stirring because the light is seeping into all these places where there is deception and darkness and, you know, all the other aspects of what people are facing and dealing with. So what Greg is experiencing there is, I think, just part of what a lot of people are slowly perhaps beginning to connect with and feel and sense, but like Greg in the beginning, was not quite sure where it was all coming from. You know, is it me? Is it something else? What else is this? So I think that was a very good piece of information for people to actually see how easy it is to get pulled into the collective drama and trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I beg your pardon?
No, I said yes.
Ah, okay. So, in terms of what the Middle East represents, the information that I was given is that it is a sacred crystal belt. So, again, if we look at Mother Earth as a body, as a being, and we look at the Middle East being like a belt around her waist, it's a crystal belt that is around her waist, and there are powerful, powerful realms of Akashic information that is stored there. And there is a being called Goddess Akasha who is a guardian over these sacred crystal libraries and the sacred crystal belt. And that has been in lockdown as a result of the Middle East shenanigans. And the main purpose of the Middle East project has been to begin shutting down all these portals and strongholds where there is energy, generator crystals, and all sorts of other things that have been inserted into Mother Earth's body that maintains the frequencies of deception and anger and violence, aggression, war that we know the Middle East to be. And this is why this work is so important. The more we shut these forces of energy down, and the way we are doing this is by building awareness. So building awareness is number one in terms of creating a different outcome or a different attitude and perspective to what it is that's going on. And because of awareness, people are now doing a lot more in their personal capacity to generate energy of love, peace, compassion, forgiveness, joy, etc. to these war-torn areas. And with the Middle East Phase 3 project, there have been channels that are being assigned by Katumi Agrippa, who are very gifted psychics and channels, who have been given permission to access these crystal libraries, which is overseen by this being who I know as Goddess Akasha. And according to the information that I was originally given when I first alerted to the importance of doing this project, is that the information stored in these crystal belts holds the information that could restore all life on Earth. Not only restore it in a positive sense, but provide sustenance for every single person on the planet, and no one will go without. We all know that the sharing of wealth on the planet is, excuse me, is diabolical. 10% of the Earth's population own 90% of the Earth's resources, if I have my numbers correct. And most of the resources are being squandered. They are being used for, they're definitely not being used for the greater good of the whole. And that is part of the, or that is the crux of what the Middle East project is all about. And the different countries that are being connected through the Middle East, which was Hungary and Romania, South Africa and Zimbabwe, these are very important connections because these countries hold, and Namibia, because these countries hold keys or triggers that are going to help expose the darkness. And I live in South Africa, and there are some of the pilgrims and guardians that live in South Africa here. And we live in one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, but we unfortunately have an uneducated criminal running our country, and I have no qualms saying this. I'm sure a lot of people saw the absolute ass he made of himself on live television, where he could not even read out a numerical value, which was depicting how many people the ANC had lost. So he was the butt of every South African's jokes for a long time and still is. And South Africans, I think, have also gotten to the point where, you know, just absolutely fed up with our country being run by uneducated criminals. So Zimbabwe has been in that situation for decades. And there is a fifth dimensional portal which is over the Victoria Falls. And this particular portal has been very active, where the malefic forces have been utilizing it to gain access to keep the people impoverished, imprisoned, and enslaved on many different levels, which is not just South Africa or Zimbabwe or Hungary and what Romania has been through as well, and what the Middle East is going through. This applies to all countries. Most of the big game players are corrupt, as far as we know. So, now completely forgotten why I was saying this. I lost track of my own line there. So, I was saying that for a reason, but I can't remember why.
So, the project may be expanded to include South Africa. Before, it was just the Middle East, Phase 3 in Zimbabwe. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe that's why South Africa's been included.
Okay, I'm
but
just trying to help.
The actual reason why I was saying it, I think my sinuses are affecting me again.
Yeah.
That's a lame excuse, isn't it? But anyway, it happens every now and then. Please forgive me. I completely forgot the train of thought there. But yes, just to second and remind everybody that if you are interested in finding out more about our project, you can go to my website, palaceofpeace.net, and if you look on the sidebar on the right-hand side, you'll read through it. You'll see the different Africa Project, Madagascar, Egypt, Hungary and Romania, India and Bhutan, Namibia. We've done quite a few projects already. We've been actively working on these projects since December 2012, and it's ongoing. The Palace of Peace projects fall under the Aquarian Rising 2020 Universal Projects of Light. And what that means is the projects that we are working on is preparing the energy for what we are going to be experiencing between 2020 and 2022. So during those 2 years, December to December, that is when we are anchoring the blueprint of the Aquarian Age. It's like the full Aquarian Age blueprint will be anchored permanently on Earth. And this is why things are so intense and hectic and frenetic and volatile at the moment, because it's a spiritual warfare that's going on at the moment. It is light versus dark, because once the Aquarian blueprint is anchored once and for all, we then need to make sure that it's the light side of the Aquarian Age that is anchored and continued rather than the dark side. And, we've experienced and are experiencing and have been experiencing up until now much of the dark side of Aquarius, because the Aquarian energy came in the early 1960s. And it was when all the planets other than, I think it could have been the moon and something else, but I think it was 5 or 6 planets were all in Aquarius. And it was in the month of February, and it could have been 1962. I stand to be corrected on the year, but that was when the Aquarian Age dawned, the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Now, in December 2020, when Saturn and Jupiter meet each other at 0 and 1 degrees of Aquarius, that is when the final blueprint is anchored. So we have been experiencing the clinical, couldn't give a damn about humanity, we just want money, we just want whatever it is that we want, artificial intelligence, some of the very cruel, cold, detached things that we've been seeing happen is part of the dark side of Aquarius. And if you are an astrologer or you understand astrology, I'm sure you understand exactly what I mean, because Aquarius has a very, like all constellations and all signs, have a very dark side. We are working on anchoring the light side of the Aquarian Age, where it's humanitarian consciousness, where we're doing what we are doing for the greater good of the whole. It is finding solutions that benefit everyone across the globe. It's not just about me, myself, and I. It's about paying attention to me, myself, and I, working on me, myself, and I, but knowing that what is motivating us to do this is when we get me, myself, and I healed, revitalized, and invigorated, we are then connecting with like-minded, like-spirited, and like-hearted people. That means our energy grows in strength, and then this becomes a worldwide movement, which is already happening. And, you know, we are one of 12 major groups around the world have been assigned this and for me to continue doing the work that I'm doing the way that I do it. So there you have it.
You did cut out for the last, like, 15 seconds maybe, but all of what you said, and I think in particular, did you want to add about CERN or anything, or anything that relates to the project write-up specifically for phase three, or?
You know, what I would like to suggest is, once I'm getting the information up onto my website for phase three, this very recent past Mercury retrograde wreaked havoc on my website, and the guys who manage my website happily went along and lost so much information from my website. We've got most of it restored, but I'm about to upload the information on phase three, and part of it involves what the energies that we are working on helping to halt or at least reverse is what CERN is up to. Now, CERN is based in Geneva, Switzerland, and they are working with very, very highly advanced technology, technology that has been given by other off-planet beings from other realms, and they are at the moment in participating in highly, highly dangerous activities, and what they are attempting to do is open a portal to Saturn. Now, Saturn is one of the planets where a number of the very dangerous Dark Lords have been imprisoned. And the big concern here is if they activate this portal, it means those Dark Lords are released. They basically get out of jail. And they use what is called digital DNA. So the digital DNA passes through this portal, and with digital DNA, it can take on any form it chooses, regardless. Now, if this happens, as they have said, God help us all. So it's not about buying into the fear. One of the things that I firmly believe is awareness is absolutely vital, but we have grown substantially. So as a result, knowing information like this is meant to motivate us to continue our service work in support of reversing or halting the processes that these people are initiating. So sharing information with you and inviting all light warriors who feel this pull and this need to work with Mother Earth in this way to take this information, not to become paralyzed by the fear or neurotic or paranoid, because what use is that, for goodness sake? It's not going to do any good. So we are coming to discover what's happening, but we are now empowered as large groups to use energies and intentions that will turn these energies around, halt them, or at least make us immune or invisible to these energies. Since getting back from the Middle East, which was a week ago, I haven't had much chance to look further into what CERN is up to and how far they are with their experimentation. But yes, that's basically part of, or a big part of what we are working on with Middle East Phase 3 is hiking up the energies and with the intention that there will be intervention and their attempt to open this portal will fall by the wayside. So if you are keen on being a part of this, if you the bookings for Core Guardians has already closed. We fully booked for the Core Guardian part of the project. However, you are more than welcome to serve as a periphery guardian. And what that means is you can download all the channelings from my website. As soon as they've been transcribed, I do advertise them or publish them on an excerpt on Facebook. You'll then know that the channeling is available. And then you work it in your own, as part of your own project. And you will be amazed at the shifts that take place, not just within yourself, but the contribution to Mother Earth, to the town or country that you live in. Everything, you know, works together in that sense. So, it's pretty exciting times. And as much as it can be quite daunting at times, we are seeing that our energy is very powerful when it comes together in in groups. And that we can make a huge difference. Thank you, Faith.
Yes, thank you. That was great. And for those who are new to this type of information, CERN is spelled C-E-R-N. And the microphone was cutting in and out. Where is it out of, Michelle? You said, was it Switzerland?
Geneva.
Geneva, okay. So
yep.
That was very powerful information that I was unaware of personally until you introduced this next project a few weeks ago.
Yes, yes, it is. It's amazing information. Okay. Well, I must say, my voice is starting to do...
I'm thrilled and held out for over an hour. This is great. Thanks for hanging in there, voice.
So it has hung in there, but it's not hanging in there for much longer by the sounds of it. So even my cat is giving me funny looks. It's like, what happened? Where's my mam? She's gone. It looks like her, but it doesn't sound like her. Bring my mother back. Oh, my word. Faith, thank you so much for an awesome episode. And thank you again, Greg from Pennsylvania, for phoning in. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in today. And we'll be back next week, same time, I would imagine. And look out on our Facebook page. And you can follow me on my Facebook page, Michelle Manders. You can look out for me there. The announcements are there. Otherwise, you can join our Palace of Peace group on Facebook. The announcements are also made there. And as I say, visit my website, palaceofpeace.net. There are loads of free channelings there. And we will get the event up on our event booking site for the 25th of November, which is the first free channeling for our new project coming up, so that you can register. And I think that's about it from me, Faith. If I've left anything out,
no, this is great.
Do the honors.
Sure, this is
awesome.
Great. And I'm Faith. I'm faithparent.net. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, and parent, P-A-R-E-N-T.net. And my email is faith@faithparent.net. And we look forward to talking with you all again next week. Thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Faith. And we would like to encourage more of our listeners to phone in if they would like to. And if you have a really good cause that you would like to share with our listeners, you're more than welcome to phone in, like Greg. And Greg, once again, we're here to support you with your endeavor. So please feel free to call in again. And we're happy to play it forward for everyone. So glow with the flow, everyone, and just love what it is that you're doing, even if times, if it's not so loving. Just be and breathe. Thank you, Faith, and lots of love to all of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michelle. Bye-bye.